This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God. Worthy, altogether wonderful, altogether wonderful. I would like to bring a couple of needs to you for us to pray together about. Ellis Goodman is in Shreveport. He has cancer. Jenny Daigle needs a special touch from the Lord in her body. Sister Lorena Stevenson, who is for right now a resident in Rest Haven, and she is very much in need of prayer. Brother James Ryder, one of our minister friends, has been in ICU in Shreveport. He was septic most of this week. Lots of infection in his body. He is recovering. It looks like the Lord has touched him. Also, Brother John Donahue, our friend from right here in town. Brother Donahue has had several eye surgeries, complications, a lot of things that have worked against him. He had another surgery this week. And I hope somebody can touch God in Brother Donahue's behalf for the power of healing. Now, if he is worthy to be worshiped, if he is the altogether lovely one, if he is worthy of our attention, then he is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Is he not? Is he not? Could I have some folks that would be willing to pray a prayer of faith in behalf of these people right now? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you who are able, you who are trustworthy, you in whose name we come, I ask you to let the power of the Spirit rest upon each of these names that we have called. Thank you for touching Brother Ryder. Your touch is evident in his life, and we thank you. We cover Brother Donahue in prayer at this time and ask that the Spirit of God will be channeled to him like a river of healing virtue. By the authority of your word, we proclaim healing against this infirmity in his eyes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, we trust, we lean upon you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And may God bless you as you are seated. Thank you to our surge team for leading us in worship this morning. Amen. Lindsay doing a great job on the keyboard, and Jeffrey on the drums. Who would have thought a few years ago that all of this would be happening? These young men on the git fiddles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm turning your attention to the book of 2 Kings chapter 22. I should say something about the men's conference. But I don't have the vocabulary, okay? And I say this every year, and I'm going to start now. I'm going to start begging and pleading and interceding and supplicating and asking for all of our men, as many as possible, to plan to go next year. I'm telling you, wives, you would benefit more by insisting that your husband go to men's conference than anything else. I don't know what else to say. Truly life-changing. Talk to some of these men that went, and they will tell you that. 2 Kings 22, verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought unto the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to prepare or to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. My subject is one word: rediscovery. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be... Is that scripture up there? Philippians 4 and 6. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. You're not going to shock him. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to throw God off balance. Your request is not going to cause Jesus one chest pain or one bead of perspiration on his brow. We must realize that everything we have need of, he has already provided. I think we used to sing this chorus. Maybe I've dreamed it up, but I think we used to sing, he's already provided. He's already provided. Everything you need, he's already provided. Every promise you can claim, just ask it in his name. Everything you need, he's already provided. That means when you pray, when you seek him, He does not have to have an emergency meeting. He does not have to ask Gabriel, "Gabriel, you contact your people and tell them to call my people and let's meet and do lunch and discuss how we're going to bring this to pass." Because the Bible says he knows what you have need of before you ask. So he's already prepared. He's already taken care of it. Everything you need, he's provided. Yesterday, Sister Mahoney has been going through stuff at the house, which can be quite dangerous. I told Reagan that he and I are going to sit in the corner and hide ourselves, because when she starts throwing stuff away, you better just find a place and hunker down. And she was going through some old cards. We keep cards. I've got boxes of cards and letters and notes from children and for over the last many years. And there was a card that she found from Moise. A lot of you perhaps don't know who Moise was. She was Sister Creel's mother. Moise passed away 7.5 years ago. And she looked in the card and she found this. That's my favorite portrait of Abraham Lincoln. I'd rather see it on a $5 bill than hanging in a museum. Now, I don't know, somehow that slipped through. She didn't know if it was a birthday or a Christmas, but somehow that had gotten passed over. It was there all the time. It wasn't doing us any good. You say, well, that's not much. Well, let me say this. That's 20 gallons of gas in my first car, because I could get it for 25 cents a gallon at the A&G Time Saver. It was there. It was hidden. It was in a box. It wasn't being used or utilized. It wasn't adding any dimension to our life, but it was there. We didn't know it, but it was there. The first successful oil well was drilled in this country in 1859. Over 800 years earlier, Leif Erikson landed on the northern tip of Newfoundland, having no idea that under the surface of the earth in this nation were laying gigantic pools of oil that would one day energize this nation and every nation in the world in a way nothing else had. It was there. The oil that was in those pools underneath this land, underneath the salt domes across South Louisiana, was not created in 1859. It laid there for thousands of years. And through pressure and time and intensity, that oil was formed, and especially since the 1930s, when they started drilling across South Louisiana, it's changed the complexion of the landscape and economy of our nation. It was there. It was waiting. God had created it, and it was waiting. It had not been utilized. It had not been discovered. It was not created then. It was already there, but nobody had tapped into it. I am preaching to you this morning that God does not play games with his ability and his power and his anointing and the things that he as our creator can bring to pass. It's available to us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. The ability is there. His desire is there. The healing is there. The salvation has been purchased. But it's got to be rediscovered. It's got to be tapped into. Somebody has got to make a move in that direction. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, near the end of this book, which is a retelling of the story and accounts of God's handiwork in Israel. And that's what the word Deuteronomy means, Deuteronomos, second law. It is a proverbial string around Israel's finger. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's the retelling of most of the accounts of what God did in their life. And in verse 24, it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now, what does that mean? This is not the tables of stone. The tables of stone that God had written the commandments in with his own finger was inside the ark, along with a pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded with almond buds. But this, he said, this book that Moses had written down, this book was to be put in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I don't know if it was inside. I sort of doubt that. I feel like it was probably some way attached to the outside, to the side of the Ark. And what God wanted was that the words of this book are going to be there for a testimony. It needs to be read, not just once a year. Now the priest, high priest, would go into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement once a year, sprinkle blood there. But this book of the law was different. It was read often. It was a guide. It was something that would continually speak into the lives of God's people. It was something that he regularly wanted them to embrace. When God gives you anything, it is never just for that moment. When God blesses you in some way, most of the time it's really not for you. It is to be able to flow through you towards somebody else, to make a difference in your atmosphere, to make a difference in your climate, to make a difference in your circumstance. And so this book is provided. There's not a whole lot said about the book of the law of the Lord. And again, don't confuse that with the tables of stone that stayed inside the Ark of the Covenant. So, 810 years later, an 8-year-old boy named Josiah was crowned king of Judah. Now, his grandfather, Manasseh, had reigned for 55 years, and he was evil beyond evil. His father, Amon, reigned for 2 years, and he was just like his father, Manasseh. So before he became king, Josiah's father and grandfather had for 57 years turned the people away from God completely. The Bible speaks of them as being evil and wicked men. So 18 years into his reign, he makes an edict. So now, at least 75 years has passed since the last good king of Judah died, who was Hezekiah. I do not know how long the people had been out of touch with the book of the law. But in the scripture that I read to you in 2 Kings chapter 22, it was in Josiah's heart to clean up the house of God. It had not been cared for. Under these wicked kings, it had not been utilized. Timbers were fallen. Dust was everywhere. And so his heart, this young man, now he's just 26 years old, but his heart is moved to repair the house of the Lord. So he appoints Hilkiah, the high priest, and Shaphan the scribe to be over this project. He said, get whatever you need. Get people that will donate labor and time and materials. And let's set about to recreate the atmosphere of holiness and righteousness and worship in the house of God. And so they did. It's hard to know how much time passed, but all of a sudden, something life-changing happened. In verse 8, I read to you where Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law of the Lord in the house of the Lord. I don't know what condition it was in. It could have been quite dusty and dirty. It could have been laying on the floor. A lot can happen. You don't have to work to let a building fall into disrepair. Just leave it alone and it'll get there by itself. No doubt animals had come in and eaten around and left their remains there. It was no doubt ugly. But he said, I found it. What Israel needed most was languishing among the dust and debris of the temple that had fallen into disrepair. So Shaphan took it to the king. Verse 10 says, he showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. Shaphan must not have been familiar with it. To him, it was just a book. Hilkiah must have been quite a bit older. He must have been familiar with the book, because he said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe read it before the king, verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. It was a book that was life-changing. It had lain there for, I'm sure, at least 75 years. It could have been longer than that. What Israel needed most was right there, but somebody had to rediscover it. Somebody had to put it back into play. Somebody had to put it in position. The very things that your soul desires most are already provided for you. They've already been bought and paid for you. The very things that your heart could yearn for, God has already made available. But they can languish in our lives unless we rediscover them. Unless we let them be reborn in us. Unless we let them loose, they can be like this, like Moe's $5 bill, who it laid at least 7.5 years, and I'm sure longer than that. It lay in a box in our house, unused for anything. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. Felix did, the governor. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. The very thing that the church needed, the very thing that the Roman Empire needed, they left bound. If there's anybody that you won't loose on the streets, Festus, it's Paul. If there's any man you want walking up and down from the marketplace to the temple, to the houses, it's that man. If there's anybody that you want free, it's that man. Don't leave Paul bound. But they did. And it looks like Paul remained a prisoner until he was executed. Let me encourage you today about this word rediscovery. I'm challenging you to rediscover the Word of God for yourself. The answers are in it. The concepts and precepts that change men and situations are in it. If we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, there is always some help in the Word of God. So I want to show you, I want to reveal a little bit of my old-timiness. And you had no idea. You thought I was a cutting-edge guy in every way. I miss seeing people walk into the house of God with their Bible. I miss hearing the rustling of pages when I announce my text. What is that all about? Well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt bring your Bible with you to the house of God every time you come. You know what it tells me, though? It tells me that we are a little less familiar with the Word of God. You know, by the time we have been living for the Lord for a while, we should know that there is no book of the Bible named Generations or Hezekiah. We should be familiar with the Bible as a book. I'm encouraging you for your own sake. Rediscover the Word of God. Understand that in it are the issues of life. Does your children see you read the Word of God? And if you want to use a device and you can read okay like that, an iPad or a cell phone or whatever, that's okay. Okay, I'm not preaching against that. A cell phone is not a Bible. Hand me my cell phone. Okay. This is not a Bible. I can get the Bible on it, but if I knew what buttons to push, I could get pornography on the same device. This is not a Bible. And if you want to read, and I know it's convenient because I can go into it. I've learned how to do it. I'm just pretty good at it. Here I am right now. I'm looking at Philippians 4:6 that I just read to you. But I want to tell you, we need to rediscover the Word of God for ourselves. It needs to be a well that is regularly dug out and let fresh water flow. You need the Word of God every day. There may come a time when we will not have access to the Word of God in our hands and in leather and India paper or on some device of some kind. How much have you hid God's Word in you? You know how you know what God's name is? Where did you hear that? From the Bible. How do you know the creation story? From the Bible. How did you find out what Jesus' mother's name was? From the Bible. That is why I want to encourage you. Rediscover the Word of God for yourself. Make it an active part of your life. And if you had no Bible, if you didn't have access, is there enough hid in your heart that you would not sin against God? That's what David said. Not only do I encourage you to rediscover the Word of God, I'm encouraging you to rediscover the altar in your life. An altar is no good if it's not used. Prayers can't be answered if they're not prayed. We should rediscover the power of the altar, what it means to seek the Lord with our whole heart. I'm going to be talking more about that this year. We should rediscover communion with God. We should rediscover meditation with God. A lot of people feel like they're not doing anything unless there's a lot of noise going on. You need to learn how to utilize quiet times with God when He can feed your spirit. And I know that it's very common for young people to multitask and do homework and text a friend and listen to a song on iTunes or whatever you do. But you need to rediscover the altar in such a way that I can hear God. I can meet Jesus. I have the privilege of talking with Jesus every day. Not just when I come to the house of the Lord and at the end of a message when I come down to the front and stand for a few minutes in prayer. But every day I need to rediscover the altar in my life. I need to know what it is like to be able to touch God at any time. I was in Market Basket last week and Jenny called my cell phone and she was in great need of prayer. At that moment, she didn't need for me to wait and write a prayer request and give it to Brother Donnie for Wednesday night. She needed prayer right then. She was in much pain. I pushed my buggy over to the side and I got against the back wall of Market Basket. And I am telling you, the Holy Ghost was upon me as I prayed for her right there. I want the altar to be able to be rediscovered in us, that we can take it with us everywhere we go, that we can enact the power of the altar with us on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, to rediscover that. You see, these things are available to us, but they have to be rediscovered in us. It can be like the book of the law of the Lord that languished among the dust and debris of the house of God, but somebody's got to find it. And when they read it to the king, his response was, "Oh my God, God's judgment is against us. We have sinned. We have erred. We need to come back to God." That the Word of God can make that kind of difference in you. If you keep the Word of God active in your life, it'll be like the banks along a river. It will help guide you. It will help keep you from making some bad decisions. And you can make a bad decision over here, and the domino effect could create a cataclysm over here. The Word of God can keep you there. The altar is a wonderful guide. It is a wonderful guide through rocky shoals and shallow waters. Can we stand together? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Holy Ghost, thank you for providing everything that we need. Thank you for being available to us in every situation. You don't have to create a new answer for my need. You've already provided it. I just need to discover it. I just need to put myself in position for it. I need to give you the opportunity to utilize what you have already created in my behalf. In Jesus' name. Right here today, there are people in this house with needs greater than you even know yourself. But before you ever awakened this morning, Jesus had already provided what you need, but he needs for you to dig underneath some stuff, some of life's stuff that has crowded its way into your thinking, has crowded its way into your mind and into your thoughts. And find it. To find it. To locate it. To rediscover it. There hath no thing, no temptation taken you, Paul told the Corinthians, but such as is common to man. And in every situation, God will provide a way of escape. It's already been bought and paid for. We celebrated last Sunday his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that provides everything. But don't keep it in a box. Don't die having not taken advantage of what is yours. I'm not going to one day find out that I had a rich uncle that left me millions of dollars. Those kind of creatures just never crept into our family. But I have known people that were multimillionaires and they had no idea. I remember a woman who, or the story of a woman named Henrietta Green, who was considered the world's greatest miser, who died because she got so upset over the virtues of skimmed milk that she had a stroke. And when she died, they discovered $35 million in one bank alone. She wasn't a millionaire, she was a pauper. Because she didn't utilize what had been hers. I may die without any money, and that's fine, but I don't want to die poor in Christ. I want to be rich in God, he said. I want to be rich in God. Can we pray together across this house? Would you utilize the words of this message and channel it to yourself personally? Oh God, oh Jesus, help me to rediscover those things that you have provided for me that I have not been taking advantage of. Those things that I have not been tapping into, those resources that are ill used in my life. Help me to utilize what's there. Let me rediscover the book of the law of the Lord in my own life. Help me to rediscover your word in my own life. Help me to rediscover the altar in my own life, oh Jesus. Let me rediscover the things of God in my life to make them fresh, to make them new. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.